Didn't Jennifer Lopez use that during the halftime show? She's on a stripper pole at the Super Bowl. Next thing I know, she says, you got to pose for a picture. I mean, the things that a sports writer has to go through to pose with two good-looking women. I mean, it's terrible.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, home to the only pre-owned inventory with a nationwide lifetime warranty and 10-year roadside assistance. Come see Tampa's largest pre-owned selection at the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Ask for General Manager Sean Sullivan, Ira's good friend, our good friend at JoeBucksFan.com. Not only will he give you a discount, he will take care of you personally, and you're not going to get that kind of service anywhere in the Tampa Bay area. Ask for Sean Sullivan. You can email him. Get to BillCurryFord.com to start shopping. And all the President's Day sales on new Fords can be seen right there at BillCurryFord.com. A good friend of mine just bought a Ford Fiesta the other day. 0% APR financing available. The Bill Curry price, and you'll see it on their website, for a brand new Ford Fiesta, $9,856. Get all the details at BillCurryFord.com. We thank them for their support.
Stock up with Big Storm Beer. There's nothing better than an ice cold Big Storm Wave Maker Amber Ale when the game starts. And that's the original, the first Big Storm beer in a long line of great craft beers brewed in Clearwater. Try the Brumosa, too, the fantastic Tangerine IPA, or enjoy Tropic Pressure Florida Ale. See all the great beers at BigStormBrewery.com. The Big Storm Tap Room in Clearwater and their delicious food is the site of the Big JoeBucksFan.com NFL Draft Party on April 23rd. That date's set in stone. And I will be at Big Storm for Bucks road games next season. I'll see all of you Buck fans at Big Storm Brewery.
Make Wednesdays your bowling night out with friends at Pin Chasers. Enjoy unlimited bowling for $10.99. and $1 Bud Lights from 8 p.m. to close, starting at 9 o'clock at the Veterans location right by the airport. We've told you so many times about the fantastic daily specials at Pin Chasers. Now it's time to go to their website, pinchasers.net, to see them all, including the Sunday Breakfast Bowl. Reserve a lane right online and get ready to have some fun at Pin Chasers. Great food, great fun, great games, great specials. Pin Chasers, your place to bowl in the Tampa Bay area.
Good day, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good overnight. Welcome once again to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the one and only King of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sport. It's Uncle Ira. I'm sorry, you're fighting a cold. I understand.
I got a little cold.
It's a little sympathy for you.
I take one little 45-minute flight to and from Miami, and I end up with a cold.
Now, do I have to go out and buy Corona now so I don't get a coronavirus?
No, absolutely not. It's the common Brooklyn cold that I had many times. You know, growing up, I used to get tonsillitis all the time. Twice a year, tonsillitis. You know what that is? Swollen glands, where it's like it hurts to swallow.
Was your dad a smoker? Calm down. You keep pointing at J-Lo. Calm down, boy. You're all worked up about J-Lo.
They're showing the halftime show again.
Yeah, you're worked up, man.
If anybody hasn't seen it, they need to put their TV on right now.
I know that'd be like me looking at K-Dub Upton, but calm down, Ira.
Wait,
easy.
You said it was an eventful
You taking
weekend.
These pills again, Ira?
Never mind that. You talk about topsy-turvy. I mean,
I told you to calm down about J-Lo. The topsy-turvy here.
The depths of despair on Saturday and utter exhilaration on Sunday watching my Chiefs. Now, I'm going to be the first to say this. With 8 minutes left and them down 20-10, I changed and put on Fox News. That's how depressed I was. I only lasted for 40 seconds. By the time I put it back on, Mahomes was hitting Tyreek Hill on a 44-yard pass. I was back in the ballgame. It was just me and my wife watching it. And I thought at that point, Chiefs had maybe a 5% chance to win the game.
Oh,
they were being outplayed. San Francisco's game plan was working to perfection. Mahomes had been picked off two straight. You know, when does that happen? I think those were the first two he's ever thrown.
What, thought he was Jameis or something?
Lee, you're all wound up, baby. And he couldn't complete a pass more than 8 yards. I mean, they had a beautiful, and the pass rush is ferocious.
I love a pass rush.
And yes, Bosa would have looked good in a Buck uniform. And yes,
well, they wouldn't have.
But they didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
No question. But John Lynch was smart enough to draft the guy. And he's a hell of a player when he's healthy. He's got health issues. But when he's healthy, he's unstoppable, basically. Everybody's looking to blame Kyle Shanahan. Oh, he didn't call timeouts at the end of the first half. That's a sign he's waving the white handkerchief. I'll tell you why that's a bunch of nonsense. You know when you can use that argument, Lee? If the 49ers would have started the second half with a 10-10 tie and they were getting the ball, and if their play would have fallen off because oh, our coach didn't show any confidence, then you can bring that argument in.
Okay.
But that's exactly what didn't happen. They kicked the Chiefs' butt all over the field in the third quarter and half of the fourth quarter. So nobody is thinking up 20-10, oh, my coach didn't have any confidence in me at the end of the half. That's a lot of nonsense. That's not, that did not what lost the game. It showed tremendous respect for Mahomes. Now, you could argue with too much respect. I understand that. Lynch was up there saying, call timeout, call timeout.
That was a great
That's a great shot. And who was sitting right next to John Lynch?
Now, I didn't notice that, but you saw
Derek Brooks, 55. The Don. Somehow Brooks worms his way into Lynch's suite.
Yeah, he was invited, wasn't he?
Instead of picking on Kyle Shanahan, and by the way, I didn't think he deserved all the heat for blowing the 28-3 lead to the Patriots with the Falcons. To me, you're going to complain about a guy who put up 28 points on Belichick's defense? When you went in 28-3, and he wasn't in charge of the Atlanta defense, he was the coordinator. You're going to blame Shanahan for blowing a 28-3 lead? It was the defense that fell apart. New England kept scoring on every drive. Every drive was a touchdown. Nobody wants to talk about that. They're going to blame little Kyle Shanahan?
Because he didn't run the ball.
So, you could argue with his play selection. It was 2nd and 5 when they were nursing a 3-point lead and he threw a couple of passes. But I'll tell you what, if he would have turned turtle and tried to run 3 straight downs and they don't make a first down and they got a punt, people are killing him for being too conservative.
Yeah, damned if you do, damned if you don't, right?
You know.
Now about your Chiefs, 50 years. Do you remember when they beat the Vikings?
I was 15.
Oh, you were 15? I thought 15. You were younger than that.
No, I was 15. I do remember it. We watched it on our rabbit ears, black and white television.
Yeah.
Snow everywhere.
Uh-huh.
My brother said, where should I stand for a better picture? I said, get in the corner over there. And it was a glorious day, of course. It was in New Orleans, Tulane Stadium, not the Superdome.
Yeah.
Superdome ain't that old.
The Superdome was, what, 5 years away? 75, 76?
I think so. Yeah. And they did a job on your Joe Cap Vikings.
Joe Cap.
And that Chief team had a tremendous defense. I mean, one of the all-time.
Look at all the guys in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they got 6 guys in the Hall of Fame. Speaking of that.
I know we'll get to that, but I want you to revel here.
I watched all the post-game shows.
Yeah?
All of them. I must have seen Mahomes interviewed about 11 times. I don't care who was asking him questions. I was watching.
Did you have a glass of wine?
Maybe more than that.
Oh! What time did you get to bed? 3 o'clock?
I'd say 2:15-ish.
Were you listening to radio when you were in bed? You couldn't get to sleep?
Well,
is it hard to sleep?
I put CNN on. It sends me right to sleep. You know, I'm watching Don Lemon on a rerun. That's about 5 minutes.
I'm in
Lullaby Land over there. But what a night! What a night for a Chiefs fan. And you, of all people, can vouch for this. You, because you've known me, you know, for 10 years or whatever. I don't come late to the party here.
No,
I was a Chiefs fan when you first met me,
mm-hmm.
And 50 years is a long time. Now, Lee, I can only think about Sean Sullivan, our great GM.
He asked me about you.
At Bill Curry Ford. Imagine if the Bucks won another Super Bowl. That's how Sean Sullivan would feel.
Okay.
Vindicated. All this pent-up frustration.
He asked if you were alive, if you partied too much or something.
Did he say anything about Lynch not getting it?
No. He thought he got the shaft.
You know what's interesting, Lee? You look at the arc of NFL history. 1920, first season. 50 years in, the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. 100 years in, the Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's a little symmetry to that, Lee. I didn't like that symmetry, baby.
Before I get to this, I'm going to say something here about the Chiefs, and then we got to go on to other things. I heard the touchdown call from Mitch Holthouse. For those who don't know who Mitch Holthouse is, he's the voice of the Chiefs, right? He's
their decor. Voice.
Not long time, but he took over for Kevin Harlan in the 90s,
Let
right?
Let me hear the call, baby. Let me hear it.
Well, basically, the end of the call was Darian Williams runs into immortality.
Wow.
And that is that. By the way, when I saw.
So this was the clinching score,
yes,
not the go-ahead
yes,
score.
The clinching.
Damian
immortality.
Williams.
Oh, Damian, I'm sorry. Williams. Damian Williams runs into immortality. When I saw that touchdown, you know, the touchdown put the game away, you know what the first thing in my mind, very first thing, John Riggins.
That's very good. But I think Riggins might have been the go-ahead score.
Yes. Yes, it was a go-ahead score, but sealed the game. Was that a 42-yard-long touchdown?
I believe it might have been, yes.
And Riggins was 38. But it was almost the same thing. It was a lot off
the tackle. It was the famous Redskins trap.
Yes.
They were famous for
it. But that play reminded me almost identical of Riggins.
I'm so old, I was at that game.
The Dolphins-Redskins game. Now,
By the way, hold on. Now, I called the Mad Dog. Unannounced.
Chris Russo.
And I talked to his producer, Eddie. And I said, Eddie, you got to put me on. He goes, right away, Ira. No questions
you
asked.
You have clout.
Now, I had seen Russo Friday in person on Radio Row. And I had called in last Monday and we did a phone. Lee, and I reminded Russo of this today. I said, Chris, the last thing I said to you last week on that phoner, the X factor in this game is Damian Williams. I said he's a big game player. He's not a 1,000-yard runner, but he scores. He's got like 11 touchdowns in 6 playoff games.
Wow.
The guy knows, smells the end zone. And right. When I said that to Russo today, he goes, yeah, you did say that. And he said, in my book, Williams could have been the MVP instead of Mahomes.
Yeah, he could
have. And he could have been.
Yeah, he could have. I love that call. Runs into immortality.
Oh, that's outstanding.
To get the tape free. Now, on that same play, there's a Bucks angle here.
You came up with a Buck angle?
Yes.
On the clinching touchdown?
Yes.
Don't tell me he ran over Kwon Alexander.
He didn't, but...
By the way, he did not have an all-star game.
You took the words out of my mouth. He had a rough game, to be polite. That play... Kwon Alexander had a chance to make a play, had a chance to get Williams. When I say he got blown up, it's the literal definition of getting blown up. He got blown backwards.
That might have been the fullback. The fullback made a play.
Blew him up.
Wow.
And Mahomes' first touchdown when he ran it in, what tackle did he break? He broke a tackle on Kwon at the goal line. And I don't remember this. For whatever reason, I don't remember this. I wasn't drunk. I had 2 beers. I wasn't drunk. But apparently, did Kwon drop the pick?
I don't remember that either. To be fair, he may not be 100%, Kwon.
Yeah, because he's got a pec injury. And he was limited in practice, if I remember it. But, I mean, he had multiple chances to make plays. Plays that made a difference in the game, and he couldn't. Now, along those lines, and this is coming from Sean Sullivan. I'm going to give him credit.
General manager, Bill Curry, Ford.
Yes, the first family of Ford.
Concierge service, baby.
There you go. He's the general manager there. And there is no bigger Bucks fan. You agree with that. With Sean Sullivan, he told me the Bucks' interior run defense improved by addition by subtraction. He swears McCoy is a rotten defensive tackle on the run. He gives him his due for pass rush. He doesn't think he's any good against the run. And he said Kwon misses too many tackles. He said the Bucks improved addition by subtraction because Kwon left in free agency and they walked away from McCoy. Your thoughts?
And replaced him with Sue.
Devin White. I think everybody knows I wanted Josh Allen and Devin White. He's against the pass. He can't cover people yet. He's still against the run. He's very good.
I think Sean Sullivan, as usual, makes some salient points. This guy knows his football, Lee. Now look, what cannot be disputed is the Bucs run defense improved exponentially in 2019. You can't argue with the facts. They were number one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Nobody ran on the Bucs, basically. Nobody.
Literally. I mean, they went through a murderer's row of running backs for a while there.
They really played Derrick Henry. Sure they did.
Derrick Henry. They played Saquon Barkley.
They played the 49ers.
Yeah, and they shut them all down.
McCaffrey shut him down. Mm-hmm. Nobody else did. So I think he's right. And look, you and I have been saying this on our podcast for 3 years when Kwon was a member of the Bucs. He gets a 10 on passion.
Oh, yes.
A 10. Energy, a 10. But in terms of angles to the football, he's a 4. Mm-hmm. And he proved it again on Sunday. He overruns plays. He's too aggressive. Now, maybe he'll learn to temper that. We'll see if Jameis Winston can learn to temper some of his aggressiveness.
Speaking of Kwon, I talked to him quite a bit at Super Bowl opening night.
Don't tell me you had him all by yourself, Lee.
For a while there, yeah. For a while there, even that mob of reporters, because obviously he recognized me. He was so giddy. He was over the top happy, and I can understand that. But at times, Kwon, and it's endearing, he's like a little kid, you know, because he loves football so much, and you spoke of his passion. And here he is, you know, one game away from the pinnacle of his sport. His exuberance was all over the top. It was great. But he told me about Lynch. When he hurt his pec muscle and went on IR, he was beside himself. Thought his season's over. He knew at that time 49ers had a chance to make a run, and he was just sick to his stomach. He thought his season was over. And apparently he told me Lynch came to him and kept his spirits up because your season's not done. You got a chance to come back. Don't get down on yourself.
Do the rehab. Do the work.
Yeah, yeah. And Kwon gave Lynch all the credit for getting his mind straight and not being depressed and knowing that, hey, he still had a chance to make an impact. And he did.
But he had a worse weekend than John Lynch. I mean, back-to-back, boom.
I imagine if someone got mugged or someone's store got robbed or someone's house got hit by a car.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. once again did not make the Hall of Fame, and now it's unprecedented. It'll be 8 years, provided he's a finalist. But do you think there's some shenanigans going on in that room?
I hope not, Lee. I hope not. I got to put my faith in the other 47 voters. Look, no matter what Buck fans think, Troy Polamalu is not chopped liver.
No!
Steve Atwater is not chopped liver. They're all-decade players. Lynch was not an all-decade player. Now, I tried to explain it. I addressed it. Because you try to address these things because it's going to come out in the post-presentation debate. Mm-hmm. So you might as well address it.
Get ahead of it.
So I said, some people in this room have remarked that John Lynch did not make an all-decade team. He didn't make the 90s. He didn't make the 2000s. So my answer was, Atwater played every season of the 90s. Leroy Butler, who was also up, played every season of the 90s. I didn't talk about Polamalu that much because, frankly, I was pretty sure he was getting it. Reason to tear down Troy Polamalu. But I did take on Atwater directly because I thought he was the big fear, and I said to myself, if two safeties go in, Lynch has to be the second safety. That was my mindset. I didn't have any illusions about Polamalu not getting in on the first year. You know, he's got the name recognition. Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to apologize for this cold, but I'm doing the best I can.
No need to.
All right.
You're fighting through it. You're a warrior.
Thank you, my man. So I said, sometimes a guy's career spans. Now, Lynch became a starter in 96, Dungy's first year. He was not a starter before Dungy came around. Joined the team in 93. So his last year was 07. His first year is 06. That counts. He straddles two decades. If there's an all-decade player between 95 and 05, he would have been on it. But he won. But there isn't. It's broken up by the decades. And then I used the example. I said, sometimes it happens. For example, Jamal Lewis, if you remember the Ravens running back, he was an all-decades player of the 2000s. He can't even get into the room as a finalist.
Wow.
Now, I mentioned the guy who was not an all-decade running back, who was the first ballot Hall of Famer. Took about 10 minutes of discussion, and next thing you knew, the guy had a gold jacket. His name's Marshall Faulk. Never made an all-decade team. Started in 95, ended in 05. Where are you going to put him? So let's not go crazy about this all-decade thing.
So is Lynch getting a short end of the stick when it comes to odometers?
That's not a bad way to do it. I said he has been criticized in this room for not having the statistics to merit a gold jacket. And then I listed him. I said, he's got better stats, if you're into stats. He's got better stats than Atwater. He's got more interceptions. He's got more forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, sacks. So he's got more Pro Bowls. I think he had one more All-Pro.
Oh.
He's in two rings of honor. He was on an iconic defense. And I'm sorry, any way you want to push it, even if you're from Denver, Atwater's defense was not iconic.
No.
They had John Elway. They had Terrell Davis. They had Shannon Sharp. We had Kenyatta Walker.
When you talk Bucks defense, it's spoken in the same breath as the Steelers and the Bears and the Ravens. Although the Bears really 1 year.
Now, I'll give you a stat that I dropped in during the presentation. I thought it was going to win the day just by itself. I mean, it's remarkable. Lynch's last 8 years with the Bucks and his first three in Denver. That's 11 years. He was a cornerstone of a top 10 scoring defense all 11 years.
Wow.
I said, that is the very definition of sustained excellence. He wasn't along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big-time player
in
those defenses. So, like you mentioned, Lee, at the top, I said, no defensive player that's ever been in that room for seven straight years didn't end up with a gold jacket. Zero.
Wow.
There's no exceptions. And so my line, which a lot of people said, boy, that was the line in the meeting.
Wow.
I said, are we really going to make an example out of John Lynch today? Are we going to make an example out of him? Lee, maybe his day's coming. Maybe it'll be in Tampa. Maybe guys are thinking about that. Wow. I don't think they should have been.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be great if we get Lynch in? There's no guarantee it's going
to
happen.
It's like Marino never got back into the Super Bowl.
Now, you know the first-year eligible players, Lee. I rattled them off.
Sure.
Peyton Manning, no discussion. Say his name and sit down. That's all you got to do. Charles Woodson, guy's a man among men. I think he's got 65 interceptions.
Ooh.
Lynch has 26. Now, different roles, I understand that. He played corner and he played safety, Woodson. Calvin Johnson.
I don't know if he's the first ballot.
I agree with you.
He's very, very good.
Jared Allen.
I would see him more than Calvin Johnson.
All right. I'm not going to be happy if more than two of those four guys go into the first year.
Is
I need the three open spots. I can't have three or four guys go in because guys like Alan Faneca,
he's good.
Baselli.
See, I'm surprised he hasn't been
these
in.
These guys are waiting.
Yeah, Baselli.
Lynch is waiting.
Baselli was, I know he was injured a lot. So when he was healthy, he was so good.
We've had a recent habit, and some people in the room are very upset about it. It used to be like you had to be Dick Butkus to get in your first year of eligibility. That was special. You got to be Jim Brown. Mm-hmm. You got to be Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's Jason Taylor. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Far cry.
Yeah. So what's the result of it? The backlog of these players like Lynch that are waiting because two or three spots are being taken up by guys making their debut.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said to honor the guys that have been waiting.
Mm-hmm. Is Lynch hurt because he doesn't have a signature play? For example, Atwater has a signature play.
Yes, he does. And so does Rondé Barber,
Brooks has a signature play. I mean,
a great point. That's a great
and
point.
And Atwater's signature play is...
He blew up Okoye.
Yeah, thank you. I cannot... Honest to God, I actually covered the Chiefs for a couple of games when I worked in Kansas City. Not all the time, but once in a while. And he was the running back then. He was the stud. To this day, I cannot pronounce his last name.
Christian Okoye.
I always say
the
something...
The Nigerian nightmare,
I can say. Christian, I can say. That last name of his, I butcher it.
Sticks in your throat,
I don't know what it is. I can spell it. I sure can't say it.
That's a good point. I mean, I think it's a factor. Now, look, stopping a Christian Okoye on a Monday night game in October doesn't carry nearly the weight of Rondé Barber sending the Bucks to the Super Bowl.
Sure, but that was when... But that was when Monday Night Football was Monday Night Football. Okay.
And nobody was doing that to Okoye.
That was like knocking Mike Allstott back 10 yards.
Sure he hit any harder than John Lynch. I'm not saying he did,
but it was a signature moment it's still replayed on TV. And I guess the closest thing Lynch has, and you mentioned it in your presentation, was the pick against Washington. When he spiked the ball on the sidelines, and that spurred the team to rally to win.
The Bucks were dead in the water at that time.
They were absolutely dead in the water. But, I mean, that wasn't a marquee game. That was an afternoon game. Even though it was a playoff game, it was an afternoon game.
You know, they say, it wasn't that good coverage. Well, ask Kurt Warner about that. The Bucks had the number. They had their number.
Sure they did.
Greatest show on turf. They did nothing against the Bucks. And a few people in the room mentioned that. So, Lee, maybe next year with the game in Tampa doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. I'm going to give it one more shot, Lee, and then I think I might turn it over to somebody else. Maybe the Denver guy, maybe Shireen. Whatever. Shireen used to cover him. Shireen Williams.
Yeah.
Works for Pro Football Talk now. You know, they might be tired of hearing my voice on this, so I'm giving it one more shot.
Well, I talked to a guy at Miami Beach Convention Center, at the Media Center last week, and I wondered aloud. I can't remember what I asked him. I said, do you think Ira's voice is getting stale in there? He was adamant, no. He's like, he's one of the best orators there is in the whole room. He said, that's Lynch's best ally. You don't get rid of him. This guy said he was going to speak up for Lynch on Lynch's behalf. I guess he never did before. He thought Lynch was getting a shaft as well. That's what he told me. Now, Ira, Super Bowl, of course, Super Bowl just ended, and you and I were both down in Miami. And so we're not as much as in the past, but a handful of Bucks players.
I saw Shaq Barrett on Friday.
You did see him down there, okay.
Yeah, he was still
Shaq
there.
Was down there. Ronald Jones apparently was down there. Lavonte was down there. Chris Godwin. And obviously almost all of them were on radio, some radio show.
I did not see Jameis Winston.
He was not. If he was down there, I didn't hear of him or see him. Neither was Arians either, by the way.
No, I don't believe he was.
Anyway, all these Bucks players, you know, without fail, they were asked. These guys were asked about Jameis. None of them gave Jameis, to my knowledge, to my measurement, none of them gave Jameis 100% backing. It was couched. It was like, he's really good, but. There was always a but. And, you know, he's got to get his mind right. Or, I don't envy the Bucks in their decision. None of it was 100%, he's coming back. We got to have him back. You guys don't know anything. It was like, at worst, 50-50. And there was always a but. Every one of these players, Jameis is a really good player, but. What does that tell you?
I'll tell you what it tells me, Lee. And I think you'd agree with me. His timing couldn't have been worse, Winston.
with 2 weeks left in the season, it was almost a no-brainer.
After the Detroit
game. Yeah, he's coming back. Question is, how's he coming back? But he's coming back. Those two games, and maybe it shouldn't be this way, but it is. It's caused a lot of consternation at one buck place. And I'm talking about into the top floor, top reaches of one buck place, from the owners on down. And they've been staunch supporters of Winston, and you and I have talked about this on this show. They don't want to start over. They feel they've put a lot of resources into Jameis Winston. They've always had his back through the suspension, had his back. Could have got rid of him at that point. Those last two games, when they had a chance to finish 9-7 after a 2-6 start, a 3-7 start, and that would have been a 6-game winning streak, that's the kind of thing that generates some ticket sales. With Winston playing two more good games at the end, finishing up big time.
Ah, I see.
And it didn't happen. And I think the very last game and the pick in overtime, I think it shook up Arians. I think it shook him up a little bit.
She sure looked like it after that last game.
You know, no longer did we hear, oh, that pick wasn't Winston's fault. We didn't hear that.
No.
You know, he's gone over every one of the 30 picks probably 10 times with his staff. And they're trying to figure out, you know, can we fix this? I'm not sure they know the answer, Lee. We're in early February, and I'm not sure they know the answer.
Wow.
It's a little scary. That's why you did not hear 100% backing for Jameis Winston, which we are used to hearing. We are used to hearing that.
From his teammates.
Yeah.
So you think they are also aware that Jameis very well could be gone?
I think they thought that games like those last two were past him. He had gotten
Where have we heard that before?
Yeah. Just like we thought the game in London was past him.
Well,
but it wasn't.
I'll go back to Cutter in Jameis' second year. When the Broncos, that ugly game against the Broncos.
Oh, terrible game.
And after the game, Cutter, no one asked him. Cutter just happened to say it. It's like, I thought we were past this.
Remember at the end of the game, the only people left in the stands were the Bronco fans.
Yeah, yeah.
They all came down from the upper deck.
By the way, I'll say this. You know, I kind of needle you when you talk about attendance. Like, that's 1970s mentality. I dug it up the other day because I was curious about it. The past decade, every year, average NFL attendance dropped. And now it represents, gate revenue represents 15% of the gross revenue pie.
Wow.
That's why I keep saying that we're overblowing attendance.
I don't think that's healthy.
Well, look at TV. People are watching. And TV networks are cutting checks. Massive checks.
I think it could affect the motivation of some owners. I'm not saying the Glazers in particular.
What, to sell?
No. I mean the motivation that, hey, if the stadium's half empty, we're still going to... You know, we're still going to make $87 million this year.
Oh, I think that's already happened because they got rid of blackouts.
And I don't like it.
The only evidence that owners are still worried about attendance, Ross down in Miami, when he basically built a roof over the stands out of his own pocket. That's the only evidence.
I haven't been a big Stephen Ross fan.
No, you're not. You're not a Stephen Ross fan.
I'm not.
Checks are still coming from TV, and as we saw with the TV ratings for the Super Bowl, people are watching it.
What's the latest Winston Brady rumors regarding the Bucs?
Well, there's rumors out there that the Bucs are doing their homework on all free agent quarterbacks, including Drew Brees. And I'm like, my reaction to that is, duh, you better. You know, that's just common sense to me. You would know this better because I know you have a pipeline into the all together now Las Vegas Raiders. It's official now. It's Las Vegas Raiders. I heard this last night on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I haven't heard a thing about it since. That apparently, and I want your feedback on this, apparently the Raiders are going to make a play for Brady if he's available. That's Chucky.
Can you really trust what Gruden says about Derek Carr at this point?
No.
He's tried to be positive about Derek Carr. But behind closed doors, I really don't know how Gruden feels about the guy. I think he's okay.
Since I heard that, Steve Elizabeth, my co-conspirator, JoeBucksFan.com, when Lovey first came here, we were aghast they didn't draft a quarterback. Absolutely appalled they didn't draft a quarterback. And then they went out and got Josh McCown, and that's why we have James.
And they went 2-14.
They passed on so many, obviously. And one of them, I thought, was a good pick at the time. They didn't. Was Derek Carr. And I remember at the Combine, when Derek Carr was coming out, he was so impressive. I mean, speaking to people, I just thought to myself, I don't know what this guy's going to do in life. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to succeed. He's one of these guys who just impressed you so much. His personality, his just everything about him, he just impressed you. And I'm like, damn, if this guy could represent the Bucs. But that didn't happen.
You know who was like that? Patrick Mahomes.
off the field.
Is that right?
Fabulous.
Well, do you think the Bucks? Now, I don't know about. I haven't watched Derek Carr enough to make a judgment, yay or nay. Does he have the arm to play in Arians' offense?
Don't even finish the sentence.
You know where I'm going.
I do. Especially when you team him up with Evans and Godwin.
And he's a young
he
guy.
He don't have that in with Oakland.
He had some receivers there.
He had some receivers. He didn't have Amari Cooper, which Chucky got rid of him. But I'll tell you one thing about Derek Carr. He doesn't throw picks. He doesn't throw a lot of picks. That's got to be attractive.
And he's young.
And he's fairly young.
Now, the problem...
Now, he's not making $6 million either, but...
Well,
Winston would make $27 million on a franchise.
If he's franchise, yeah. Now, what I'm getting at is, Sean Sullivan, we spoke about him earlier. He called me up today.
And he's not a free agent. Carr's not a free agent.
No, but they get Brady. I can't imagine them keeping him.
But you got to make a deal for him. You'd have to give something up for him.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not an arm and a leg. Now, my theory is, if you get rid of Jameis, let's say it's Philip Rivers, hypothetical. Let's say you get Philip Rivers. Well, he's not a long. You hope the Bucks are picking at 14. You hope they never pick this low for years to come. You hope. If you're going to get Philip Rivers and you know he's only going to be around 2 or 3 years at most, you still got to get a quarterback first round if you're moving on from Jameis. You're at 14. You could probably move up a few rounds. Maybe not, but still. This Jordan Love, Jacob Eason from Washington, you got to get a quarterback. Let him develop under Rivers a year or two. But you hope you never pick this low, and you know Rivers is only going to be around a couple of years. You can't go back to what it was when you're hoping the Brian Leftwich of the world and the Josh McCowns and the litter of quarterbacks. I'm not talking litter of puppies. I'm talking about litter you throw on a sidewalk.
Lee, couldn't you make the same argument to draft a guy and still franchise Winston? And knowing that the guy at 14 doesn't have to play right away, and give Winston one more shot with Arians, and if he gets off to a bad start, you bench him. You bench him and you bring in the rookie.
It's a lot of ifs. I don't know if you spend a number 14 pick on a lot of ifs. I could see third round, and you've been talking about that. If the Bucks keep Jameis, you're looking at Jake Fromm State Farm. By the way, you guess who's sponsoring Jake Fromm at the Radio Row last week?
Who?
State Farm.
Wow.
Jake Fromm, State Farm.
Outstanding.
It was a perfect match.
I'm not sure Rivers is better than Winston at this point. I'm not convinced of that.
Well, I've heard this from a lot of people. I think it's valid. That Philip Rivers is nothing more than an ancient immobile Jameis.
He's durable.
Yes.
Give him that.
Well,
so is
Jameis for the most part. Yeah. But Carr is intriguing.
How many Buck fans, Lee, can you imagine how many thousands of Buck fans were watching the Super Bowl, and Mahomes in particular, and like saying... One guy saying to his buddy, how come we don't have one of those guys?
Oh, I got a better one than Buck fans.
There ain't too many Mahomeses to go around. But you get the idea. Why don't we ever have a guy like that?
Well, I got a better one than that. Bears fans. You don't think they wanted to jump off the Michigan Street Bridge? Avenue Bridge? They could have had him, and he passed on him. You know, about Jameis, I talked to Chris Myers in Miami, the preseason voice of the Bucks.
Chris Myers.
Who just got hurt by the Cubs.
He's got good contacts at one Buck place.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
And by the way, he just got hired by the Cubs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's going to be doing some Cubs games. Wow. He's still going to do preseason for the Bucks, he told me. But he's really down on Jameis. His exact words were, whatever options you have at quarterback with these free agents, you better look into them seriously.
You wonder if he's getting that from somebody.
You wonder. And he's really down on them.
And he's usually a very positive guy.
Yeah. Well, most announcers are, because they're getting a check from the team. And for him to be that down on Jameis, he said, look, when they drafted Jameis, I thought that was the answer. I thought that was perfect. And he said, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, you hate to give up on the number one pick in the draft, Lee. You hate to do it. It generally sets you back 3 years as a franchise.
Not just that. It generally means your general manager is gone. Because he's got it picked him.
Yeah.
And we all know Jason Light's going to be here as long as Bruce Arians is here. We know that. So this is one of the rare times where a guy swings and misses on a number one overall pick quarterback, and he'll still survive. That is interesting.
Well, we don't want to give the impression that we know for a fact that Winston's gone.
I have no idea. And you have better sources than me at one buck.
I don't think they've made a decision.
Yeah, you just dropped a hint who you were speaking with.
I don't think they've made a decision.
Wow, and here we are in February, and they still don't know. That says a lot. Ronald Jones. Now, that Super Bowl we watched, if that doesn't tell someone at One Buck Palace they need to upgrade the running back position, I don't know what there is to say. And here's another one for you. These next-gen stats. I don't know if you know what next-gen stats are. I know you're not a big stat guy.
Generally? Or next-gen? Sorry, Lee. Sorry. I gotta get Jenna's name into every podcast.
And by the way, you were fooling around with her and her friend. We told you to behave at South Beach.
I had just gotten to the convention center. I was in a hurry to get my credential, and she corralled me, and I don't know who the woman was that was next to her.
And you're doing selfies
with her. The next thing I know, she says, you got to pose for a picture. I mean, the things that a sports writer has to go through to pose with two good-looking women. I mean, it's terrible.
Okay, well, anyway, Ronald Jones is at next-gen stats, what they are, they're computer sensors and players' equipment. And the NFL has the right, and so they come out with miles per hour, and that's all computerized, but they have all that stuff. You seen these Bucks players wearing vests, have you? It's in their vests, it's in their shoulder pads. Well, anyway, they came out with a thing next-gen.
Didn't Jennifer Lopez use that during the halftime show?
You and Jennifer Lopez, you eating those blue pills again?
I don't care if she's 50 years old. I don't care, Lee. I don't care.
Well, it's spring chicken.
She's on a stripper pole at the Super Bowl.
Well, so is Mike Williams.
Do you need more than that?
All right.
All we needed was a wardrobe malfunction to make the night cap the whole evening.
Whatever happened to Theater of the Mind?
Oh, boy.
And so anyway, Ronald Jones, in his next-gen stats, they have the miles per hour that players run.
Speaking of miles per hour.
And not Jennifer Lopez again.
No, you got to back me up on this. I never want to hear again, even though we will hear about it again. I never want to hear it again. The exit velocity of a home run.
Don't get me going. Don't get me going.
You got to stop that.
Don't get
you
me going.
That adds nothing.
I hate it more than you. Gee, a ball went fast over the wall. Who would have guessed?
Now, if you want to tell me how far it went, I'll listen to that.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're trying to stoke me up here. Calm down, Jennifer Lopez. And of the top five fastest running backs, every one of them were like the top teams in the NFL. Niners were in there. Chiefs were in there. All the top teams. They only had like the top eight or nine. Bucks, of course, were not on there. But of the top five with the fastest running backs per next gen stats, every one of them were some of the best teams around. The Bucks need, we watched this on the Super Bowl. We watched Darius.
Damian Williams.
Yeah, we watched him. We watched the Niners running backs. Not as good as they were, but they're good. The Bucks have to do something at running back. And I get to Ronald Jones. And Ronald Jones says, he was at the Super Bowl last week on Radio Row, and he says, I need to be a workhorse.
Workhorse? You're there to be a spot player. What do you mean workhorse?
Is he? I mean, I don't know. Is he? I don't.
I think he was drafted to be this explosive change of pace guy, but not a workhorse. I don't think he's ever going to be a workhorse.
Well, my definition of workhorse gets a lot of touches.
That's what you would think.
So, are we agree on that? Second round pick ought to be getting touches?
Well, he should be getting touches, but they need a number one.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Mike Allstott.
I'm not sure he's a number one.
You know, I agree. He seems to be more of a change of pace kind of guy, which really
and
the Bucks
didn't he made strides use. Last year. He made strides.
He did, but not enough. And don't get me started about this Dari... Obi-Wan Kenobi is, and
you look at the running back stables around the league, Lee, the Bucks are in the bottom group. That's just the way it is. They're in the bottom group. I don't mean dead bottom, but you know,
pretty darn close.
The bottom eight or whatever.
They really need to upgrade that. And I'm of the opinion, although I don't think it'll happen, I'm of the opinion they need to draft a running back on the second day, no less than the second day, and sign a free agent. I really believe that. They really need to upgrade that. Now, Arians, you know, he'll tell you, I don't believe in the value of running backs because I'm going to pass it a lot. Well, evidence suggests you need to.
Pass it to the running back. The Chiefs do it. Drew Brees does it.
Yeah.
And it's very effective.
Well, I still believe...
Especially when you got two studs on the outside.
Yes. I still believe that... I can't remember his name, but Arians running back from Arizona. He was really good. He was the third round pick.
David Johnson.
I really believe he's going to get cut loose by the Cardinals because his... $9 million for a backup running back?
Good
no.
chance he gets cut. Good chance.
And if that happens, I will lay money. I'll buy you a dinner. Because I'll buy you a dinner if he's not in Tampa Bay, if he gets cut.
Then he might be recovered from his injury. Fully recovered.
Well, 2 years ago he had 1,000 yards. And last year he got benched. Now, by the way, he had 1,000 yards. And who was his offensive coordinator? Byron Leftwich.
By the way, 3 years ago and maybe... 4 years ago and 3 years ago, he was the number one pick in the fantasy draft.
Yeah.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
He was that good.
You know, if Arians is going to take a stab at Andre Ellington, which was a reach to begin with, you know he's going to be interested in David Johnson.
That's like Blaine Gabbert or something. I mean,
but some of these Bucks players, I believe it was Chris Godwin, said, you know, you got to be careful around Arians because if you slip up and do something, if you're loafing, you do... He's going to let you have it. He says he cares about the players. There's no doubt about it. and he likes his players, and he's really good with them. But if you goof up, it's old school.
Run you over in his golf cart.
He goes, you're going to hear it, and it's not going to be pretty.
Well, I like that. I got to think behind closed doors, he's a lot rougher on his players than he is at the podium. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with that. You can't be calling out your players. That's not a winning strategy as a head coach.
Only very few Parcells are...
You got to know who could take it. But when you're in there with your peers in that room and you're going over the film, you got to be brutal. You got to be brutally honest. You've been alone with Arians. He can be brutally honest.
Oh, sure. I love it.
And I'm going to be brutally honest right now. How do you like those Chiefs?